Welcome to the Startup Fair. Are you an exhibitor?
Yeah, Rachel Dunn, Twinkle Cupcakes.
Right. Got your schedule and coffee token?
Yep.
Oh, and your public liability insurance?
No.
We need it for all stallholders. Contact Direct Line. Their annual public liability policy covers you at trade fairs, and they'll email right away to confirm you're covered.
So I could still set it up today?
Sure.
With an extra coffee token.
Nice try. Next, please.
Instant proof and confirmation of cover. Can your public liability insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required, underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release new podcasts every single Wednesday and bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podcast Republic, pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted, or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We do post a link there every single week. Plus, we put up a few articles. Article that went up yesterday that you might want to check out concerning Von Miller and the Denver Broncos. So you might want to head over there. I think that you will like some of the things that you see there. If you need to get a hold of us for any reason, got a question, got a comment, need some advice, whatever that may be, you can email the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com. We read a few emails last week. Always good to hear, from some listeners that are out there. You can also follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. Both of those are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, got a few things for you. Larry from Centennial is going to stop by. And you know, with the Oscars taking place on Sunday, I thought it might be a good time to maybe talk some sports movies. We like to do that every once in a while. Plus, we do have some NBA talk. A little bit of college hoops I want to get to. And as we do every single week, we have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. Few things coming out in the world of sports that I want to touch on briefly before we get going. Few things coming out in the NFL. You know, the NFL free agency starting to hit, some interesting things being moved around. We saw yesterday the Denver Broncos franchise Super Bowl MVP Von Miller. That allows them to try to sign him to a long-term deal by mid-July. We saw the Buffalo Bills do the same thing with Cordy Glenn. They cut Mario Williams, who will now be on the free agent market. We saw the Washington Redskins franchise Kirk Cousins because they are looking to get him to a long-term deal. Couple of quarterbacks have signed some extensions. We saw Tom Brady sign an extension. We saw Joe Flacco today sign a three-year extension with the Baltimore Ravens. Just a lot of moving parts right now going on in the NFL as everyone is scrambling, making sure that their salary cap is in order, making sure that they have guys locked in. You saw the Philadelphia Eagles extend Sam Bradford for reasons that we still don't understand. There's just a lot of movement going on in the NFL, going to be fun to keep an eye on things. Don't know if you saw this, but one thing that we probably should touch on. The Colorado Rockies yesterday announced that they are going to raise their outfield fences at Coors Field by 8 feet in right center and right field. And of course, speculation, at least here in Denver, speculation is that this is a big change to how baseball is going to be played at altitude. The goal, of course, being to make the ball more playable and more fair for pitchers pitching, you know, at altitude where the ball does travel further. But I'm going to be honest with you. That's not exactly my speculation. I understand why people are looking at it that way. My speculation, though, is that it's actually way cheaper to put up a fence than it is to actually raise your payroll and bring in some actual talent on this horrible franchise. I mean, you can put the Berlin Wall out there in central or in center and you know, right field if you want to. When your roster is horrible, the other team is still going to hit the ball over that wall more than your team does. I mean, you can put up a fence if you want to. Until you bring in some players, until you bring in some talent, I don't really care what you do. This, to me, reeks of a team being too cheap to go get players. So what they do to try to drum up interest, because we saw last year, we started to see for one of the first times in Colorado Rockies history, fans kind of not going as much. Fans not watching as much. They're trying to drum up some interest. Well, hey, what if we put a big fence out in right field? Do whatever you want. But the other team still has more talent. They're still going to hit it over that fence. So it doesn't really matter. Here's a question. Does Donald Trump build the fence and then get Mexico to pay for it? I don't know how that works. You know, we haven't talked much college hoops just yet. But last week, Arizona head coach Sean Miller made some headlines when he talked about how dangerous court storming is becoming when you know Colorado knocked off his number nine Arizona Wildcats. It is now officially court storming season, just so you know. In the next few weeks, you're going to see some fans rush the floor as their teams start punching their ticket to the big dance. I'll be honest with you. In my coaching career, I've been involved in a couple of court storming situations. We might have to tell those stories at some point here on the podcast. But I'll be honest with you, it's a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm trying to think back. I think I was involved in it maybe three times. And in two of those court stormings, it turned into full-blown brawls. So I have seen the bad side of it. Police had to be brought in. We were barricaded in our locker room. Here's the thing. And Sean Miller kind of comes off in this situation, maybe sour grapes. It's because his team got beat. If you don't want him storming the court, don't let him win. Here's the thing. It's just a matter of time before we have an incident. You have young college kids coming out. They're getting in players' faces. They're getting in coaches' faces. It's just a matter of time before we see this. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, we're going to have an injury. We're going to have a fight. It's kind of like, is a number 16 ever going to upset a one? Well, yeah, just numbers wise, it's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. Here's the thing. They could stop this if they want to. And I'm not saying there's something very, very exciting. Your team hits the winning shot and you know, your student body runs the floor. There's something very, very exciting about that. I'm not saying to stop it. That's not what I... But if you want to control it, there are ways to control it. And I know there's a lot of people out there, you should stop it. You don't have to stop it. You just have to make sure that it's safe. You just have to make sure we don't get a kid like maimed or killed storming the floor. Because something bad is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Let me just throw out a suggestion. And I'm not a very smart guy. But let me just throw out a suggestion. You beef up your security for those nights. Because how many nights do you truly have where you have the underdog facing the top opponent where you would have that situation? So on those nights, you beef up security. And let me just make a quick suggestion. As the clock runs out, that security blocks everybody running out. And as the game ends and the final buzzer sounds, the clock operator puts 10 seconds up on the clock, and as a crowd, we count down from 10, and it becomes kind of a ritual. The game ends, we do a 10-second count, and then we can storm the floor. And in those 10 seconds, you allow the opposing team to get out of there. And your security holds everybody back, we all count down, sound the buzzer again, let everybody storm the floor, but you're going to allow less opportunity for an incident to take place, because it's going to happen. As much kind of heat as Sean Miller took, he's complaining about them storming the court. He's right. It is a matter of time before something bad happens. Of course, the big news over the weekend was the big win of the Golden State Warriors over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday night. You know, Steph Curry bangs in about a 35-footer at the end of overtime to win it. You know, and the funny thing about that game, because I watched a good portion of that game. Sometimes as a coach, you look at some of these games, you look at some of these different teams, and you're looking at matchups, and you're looking at that kind of thing. Sometimes you look at these games, and you say, if we bring our A game, and they bring their, let's say, D game, who wins? I didn't think Golden State played particularly well that night. I mean, you had them completely get out-rebounded. You had Oklahoma City play a pretty good game. And you know what? It didn't matter one ounce. It didn't make any difference whatsoever. I mean, they still find a way to win. That concerns me a little bit. I won't lie. That concerns me a little bit when I look, is any team going to eventually be able to knock them off? Because rebounding-wise, total rebounds, Oklahoma City beat Golden State 76-41. If you can't beat them on that night, if you can't beat them on the night when they bring their kind of C-plus game, when can you beat them? Because, like I said, Oklahoma City played pretty well. Kind of lost in the long shot by Steph Curry hitting that is the fact that Kevin Durant played pretty well. Russell Westbrook played pretty well. They got some contributions from some other players. If you can't beat them, then when can you beat them? And you couldn't beat them at home. When can you beat them? Makes me concerned just a little bit. And, of course, you know, this all comes on the heels last week of former great NBA player Oscar Robertson telling everyone how dumb NBA coaches were, and that if he had a guy that could shoot from the outside, he would just extend his defense. Hey, if Steph's that good of a shooter, I would just shut him down. I'd just extend my defense. Oh, if only somebody had thought of that. Thanks, Oscar, for sharing that with us. That's really, really, man, look, I get it. I get it. When the great players look at the players today, you know, the great players from I don't know, when the great players of you know, the old days, when they look at the player, they say, hey, in my day, that wouldn't happen. In my day, I'd do it differently. A couple things. One, the rule changes have changed things quite a bit from when Oscar played. But I think you're kind of, when you pull the back in my day card, I think that what you're kind of missing is just how good of a ball handler, passer, and finisher right around the basket that Steph is. He's so good off the dribble. I've got news for you. If you want to extend your defense out that far, he's going to go right by you. Not only is he going to go right by you, get himself into the paint, and probably score, he's going to go right by you, get into the paint, dish, you know, distribute, get layups and and-one situations. So that sounds great, but you're kind of underestimating how good of a player Steph Curry is. And I'll be the first to say, if he played in the era where you could get away with the hand check, you can control what he can do a little bit. If you play in the era when you can knock him on the floor, maybe physically you can you know, do some things to take him out of his game. But don't underestimate what this kid can do. And don't underestimate his ability to get the shot off so quickly off the dribble. That's good in any era. I don't care what era you play in. I don't care if it's in the 40s, 50s, 80s, 90s. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a deadly, deadly weapon that Steph Curry has. I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to bash on Oscar too much, but you're kind of underestimating just how good this kid is playing. He's such a good shooter, and he's so deadly, and he gets it off so quickly. Like we talked about just a little bit last week, Pistol Pete Maravich was pretty good back in the 60s and 70s. This is a very, very similar situation with Steph Curry. Don't underestimate just how good Steph Curry would be back in those days as well. It might have to tweak his game a little bit. He might have to change his game a little bit. He's still going to be really, really good. Hey, did you watch the Oscars on Sunday night? I know, you know, the Oscars were on Sunday. There were a couple different, you know, things to kind of tune in for. And I know that there were some groups that were boycotting the Oscars because of the lack of minorities that had been nominated and that kind of thing. So ratings were down. We've seen some of the TV ratings that have come back. Ratings were down, because many people honestly just refused to watch. To be fair, I've been boycotting the Oscars for years because I never watch. Like, I just kind of forget they're on, and I don't really care that much about seeing Hollywood pat itself on the back. But the Oscars, you know, were there. And just because I don't watch the Oscars doesn't mean that we can't talk movies. I wanted to bring Larry from Centennial on to talk a little bit of movies with me. Larry, thanks again for joining us again this week.
Hey, thanks, Clint. Good to be here. A subject, movies that you brought up, I love to talk about. And just on the outset here, a lot of people who listen to the podcast are going to think that I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to movies. And in large part, they're right.
Sure.
There are a lot of movies I haven't seen, but still, the ones I have seen and the movies I like and kind of the genres and things like that, I feel like I'm you know, pretty deep in, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of things that I have no knowledge about.
That's all right. That's kind of the story of the show. Before we jump into the movies, and I do want to talk a couple different angles on a few different movies and talk some sports movies and that kind of thing. What's going on with the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning? I mean, we're getting some things
right.
here.
We got to kind of talk about that a little bit, don't we?
Yeah, I think so, because now we're starting to hear a little bit coming out. I mean, Woody Page puts out the story. Peyton is done. He's going to retire later this week. Now we're hearing from possibly, maybe, you know, the source who talked to someone who might have seen Peyton is saying he might still want to play. What's going on here with Peyton Manning? What's he doing?
Yeah, you got to wonder about all these guys and their sources. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, yesterday we heard Schefter say the exact opposite, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so I don't know. I get the feeling that, you know, Manning's not unlike any other pro athlete who just doesn't want to give up playing, which, you know, who can blame him?
Right. You know? If you can get the paycheck, why wouldn't you do it?
Me or you, and that's what you do for a living? Geez, how do you not want to do that? But surely, you know, he's taken, you know, some time to watch his last 2 years-ish performances and you know, kind of seeing that if he's not in exactly the right spot, which he was in Denver certainly
right.
over the last half of last year, that he can play, or he might not play if he gets injured, but he's not going to go out on any better note than he did this year. So it gets worse, you know,
yes.
from here on out, and likely he could end up, you know, in a situation where we did a couple of years ago, where just, you know, it's just not good, and the team around him doesn't rally because they know they don't have what they need as a leader in a quarterback position. But you know, undoubtedly he's trying to find out if there's a spot for him. Right, he's got his agent probably talking to a couple teams, wants to, you know, vet every opportunity before he says either he's retired. And even if, you know, they can't find one, you know, why retire when you know training camp's coming up, somebody's getting injured, and somebody might want a backup quarterback to have to start for a few games before their starter can get ready?
Sure. I just get the feeling that no matter what happens, we've seen him play his last game as a Denver Bronco, because if you're the Broncos, to keep Peyton Manning, I hate to say it, I think it's probably to lose Brock Osweiler, isn't it?
Well, you know, things are really interesting over the last couple of days with the tag, franchise tag on Miller.
Yeah.
They're already talking about Osweiler hitting the free agent market, and certainly they'll make some offers, but he's going to see some other teams, you know, make some offers, so could lose them, you know. And interestingly enough, I was thinking about this the other day, Clint, just, you know, this whole process with Manning and trying to figure out what he's going to do.
Sure.
A guy who's known, you know, and this is what he's known for, is being able to make decisions in a split second by reading defenses and having all that information and being able to make calls and with a matter of 5 seconds be able to make a decision and do the right thing. Like, it's taken a really long time to figure this out, isn't it?
Doesn't, yes.
Wouldn't you think that he's got all the information he needs at this point to make a decision?
Well, sure. I mean, but I do know how long he spends over on the sidelines staring at those pictures. So maybe he's just looking at those pictures of you know, current events and things that have happened. And, well, here I was, and I tried to throw a 7-yard out, and I floated it to about 2 yards out. So, I don't know. Maybe he's
maybe,
just
maybe that, it's just not as good as it looks on TV.
Well, he's the one thing about him is he's such a smart guy.
Right.
But you just wonder if this is a, you know, a head over heart kind of decision, because, you know, that's tough to walk away. I mean, he's been playing since he was a baby, almost literally, so it would be tough to walk away. The only scenario I could see him staying in Denver would be if he were to say, I'll stay for a minimum amount, and I will basically be your backup to Brock, and I will kind of tutor him and help him along. And that's a bizarre situation, but that's the only way I could see him being in Denver, Nick.
If I'm John Elway, I don't even entertain it.
No, because then you always have that.
Oh, you look at the Super Bowl and the games that he played in at the beginning of the season, and he's not good, right?
Just can't do it physically.
The worst, you know, offensive performance in Super Bowl history.
Mm-hmm.
And in large part due to him and his ability, his non-ability to be able to move around and throw passes on a rope and things like that. It's just, you know, if it's with the Broncos or if it's with another team, I don't understand how he ends up being your choice.
Right.
Maybe, you know, he backdoors it in there, but I don't understand how he's your choice as your starting quarterback. Given what we've seen from him over the last, you know, 2 years.
Is there any chance that he saw the Woody Page article and was planning on retiring, and then he sees the article and he said, you know what, let's push it out another week just to make him look like an idiot?
Yeah, and if not him, and I'm not saying he would do this, but I'm saying he doesn't care about what the Broncos need or want, right?
Right.
So if it's either a Woody Page deal or a Denver Broncos, he's not going to make his decision easy. You know, he's not going to make his decision so that it's easy on anybody. And yeah, if I'm Peyton Manning, I'm probably a little perturbed that somebody's, you know, talking to people who might know my intentions, who I've talked to confidentially. You know,
right, right.
You know, you can certainly see how players would feel like that. I just think, you know, if you're one of those teams that is looking for a quarterback, yeah, you want a leader like Manning, but not a player who just doesn't have the physical gifts anymore to
right.
get the job done. You got to have somebody who's going to get out there, get hit, kind of show some toughness, show some leadership on the physical side of the game, because let's face it, that's what football is, right? And if he's more than likely to self-sack, it doesn't show a young team who's trying to build and gain confidence, the type of leadership that I think that they want. But, you know, if a team is in desperate need, then they may snap him up.
Sure. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. And you know, the Broncos have a number of free agents, and just free agency in general. We're already starting to see some franchise tags being applied. We're starting to see some guys getting cut. It's just going to get a little bit more and more heated until we get through this free agency period. We get into March and that kind of thing. I believe Peyton has to let them know by next week. I think he has to let them know on the 9th.
Cut, right?
Or he gets cut.
One question maybe you know. I don't know the answer to this. If there's really any difference, you know, if there's a monetary penalty or some sort of consideration that the Broncos are waiting on to see if he retires, rather than just outright cutting him, because I think they've now lost a lot of bargaining power, you know, with or the ability to offer Osweiler a deal and maybe just get it done before
right.
Free agency, you know, gets into full swing. Now we're looking at a situation where Osweiler is out of a price range based on what Bradford, and I don't understand how Bradford gets that contract. Do you?
No, I have no idea how to get that. I know that Big Rob listening is probably just furious that the Eagles gave Sam Bradford that kind of money, because he hasn't proven anything. If there's anything we know from Sam Bradford, one, it's that he's always going to kind of tease you and make you think he's going to do something, and two, he's never going to be healthy. Why you would extend him and give him more money, it doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I thought Chip Kelly was gone.
I just don't get it. So now we're talking about $20 million for unproven quarterbacks. You know, that puts Osweiler out of our range, and I'm okay with it. You know, I think you definitely have to get the right guy, but you do more damage by overpaying.
Oh, sure.
And having it not work out than you do by going with a younger, more inexperienced guy.
Yeah.
You know, for the long term. So that was a surprise to me yesterday, boy, some of those numbers that are being thrown out there for those quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's a quarterback who's completely unproven. I mean, you have a guy like Cousins who the Redskins franchise, and I understand, you know, why they did that. A guy like Bradford, I like I said, I thought Chip Kelly was gone. I thought these dumb contracts were gone. That one didn't make any sense to me. I know that people in Philadelphia were very, very shocked by that. Okay.
Yeah.
We can talk free agency all day. We can talk, obviously, Broncos all day. We are going to shift over to the movies. We're talking some Oscars this week. We're talking some movies this week because the Oscars did take place. Did you watch the Oscars? Were you one of the few?
So no, I'm kind of with you. I don't know, and I can't remember when the last time I watched an Oscar show was. Now, I do make sure I know who won. You know, I do
sure.
a lot of reading after the fact, but... No, you know, watching the Oscars is kind of like watching a Pro Bowl.
Right, right. It's a lot of just patting yourself on the back and you know, celebrating what you've done, but I could care less.
Right.
And I certainly don't care what Hollywood thinks. We have to make sure that we make that perfectly clear. So here are the movies that were nominated for Best Picture. The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Of those movies, how many of those did you see?
I've seen two of those movies.
Have you?
Yes.
What did you see?
I saw Mad Max.
I saw Mad Max, yeah.
And I saw Spotlight.
Oh, you did?
Now, I rented it the other night. I
right.
didn't go to the movies to see it, but I have seen it.
Okay. Well, you're ahead of me, because I saw Mad Max, which I liked. I mean, it was completely insane and over the top and comic book-like.
What a great movie.
But it was great, yeah.
You know, and for somebody of my age who can clearly remember you know, watching Mel Gibson in the first movie of this series.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. So I had fun watching it. If I hadn't seen Spotlight, it would, you know, maybe because it's the only one I'd seen, but I would vote for it for movie of the year. I mean, it's the movies, you know, in a nutshell. It's like the great, what movies are all about, right? So I liked it a lot.
So, you know, I know that Oscar night is kind of the night when Hollywood tells us like how artsy they are. So they have these movies that no one has ever seen. I don't always get, you know, movie critics' top movies ever. I mean, when you look at the top movies ever, there's some good ones. There's some out there that I'm like, really? That was the movie that was the greatest movie? Like, when I look at like all-time movies, you know, I've gone back here just in the last few years and I've started watching some of the considered all-time great movies. You know, you go watch Lawrence of Arabia or Citizen Kane. I got to tell you, I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing it. I don't get it. It doesn't make a whole lot. If you just had to pick, I guess, some of your favorite movies, and you said maybe you're not, you know, a movie expert. What are some of the movies that you're like, okay, that's a go-to movie. That's a movie that maybe it's not even critically acclaimed, but that's a go-to movie.
Oh, see, this is where I have problems, right? Because there's so many movies. I myself, you might or might not know, love the horror genre.
Sure.
So, and not that this movie in particular is a horror movie, but just caught another. You know, I caught it the other day. Jaws.
Oh yeah, no, Jaws is a classic. That's a
and
great.
Nowadays, sure, you can pick it apart for its kind of crude, you know.
Yeah, the effects and stuff. Sure.
But what a great movie, and I'll watch that anytime it's on, any day. Just a fantastic movie.
Where do you come in on The Godfather?
I love The Godfather.
Yeah,
you know, I do love the movie. Love it. You know, I think it's a historical piece, right? Because I mean, you kind of think about the mob and things like that, and this stuff is, you know, this is reality. So
right.
I think it captured a lot of things that people kind of wonder, wow, is this really how things worked? And yeah, it is. I think I truly do believe that. But, you know, you got to take some time. You got to take some time to sit down and watch those. But, you know, I put that on the list of movies that people need to see.
Yeah, no, and there are certain movies that are out there that are like that you're just like, that's one that you have to see. The thing that I guess I never understand, and I can't figure this out, for the first time this year we see a movie like Mad Max be nominated for an award, but we don't typically see those kind of movies. They drama, every single year, every single time. Get like a guy playing someone who has some sort of, you know, disability, and he's probably going to win. You get a woman who's going to play, I don't know, like a hooker, she's going to win. That just kind of seems to be the formula. I don't know why that is.
Right. Hollywood wants to be important, right?
Yes.
And when you make a movie like Mad Max, which is just, you know, pure fun.
Right, mindless violence.
And then it doesn't look like, you know, they're serving their purpose as a voice of social consciousness, right? So, you know, there's a certain place for that. But, yeah, you're right. You don't see movies like that nominated too much, which I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. I thought it's exactly why Hollywood exists, to kind of be that, you know, to show us that kind of thing. It was fun.
Well, sure. It takes us to a different world.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't understand is why are comedies never, ever nominated? Why comedy gets no respect? It's so much harder to make somebody laugh than it is to make someone be serious. I mean, when I think of some of the great movies, you think of like Monty Python, The Holy Grail, you think of Airplane, Blazing Saddles, Stir Crazy, The Jerk. How are these not nominated for any kind of award?
And I'll throw a must-see in there along with those, because those surely are some of the best. Young Frankenstein.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and come on, you're right. It is harder to make somebody laugh. And, you know, Gene Wilder was a master of some of those.
Oh, so good.
Certainly, you know, his place in movie-making history should go down for sure. You know, what a great actor and just somebody who could make you laugh no matter what was going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think of movies like, you know, Animal House, even recently. you know, something stupid like 40-Year-Old Virgin or something like that. Those are movies, I know they're not critically acclaimed. They're movies that are really, really funny, though. There's something to be said for that ability.
Or the movie by which all movies are judged, Old School.
Absolutely.
That's when you're Frank the Tank.
Yes.
Oh, man, we're going straight good.
Bring your green hat. Yes. Okay. Now, I struggle with sports movies. Hollywood, here's the thing about Hollywood that people sometimes fail to get. Hollywood is filled with like nerds and geeks that didn't actually participate in sports. So they don't really get what sports is. So they try to have some goofy hook.
Right.
Like they have, I don't know, like Rocky, you know, he comes out with this new idea. Okay, well, in this movie, the key is going to be that he boxes a chicken for training, and that's really going to help him down there. Really? But
and that's what you remember about the movie, right? You got to wonder if that somebody sat down and said, we're gonna make a movie around
Sylvester Stallone
chasing a chicken around a pen.
Yes. Because that's what, like, that seems to be the pivotal point of the movie. So they don't really get, me personally, I prefer sports documentaries to sports movies, but that's me. Having said that, there are some sports movies out there, I guess, that are at least a little bit watchable.
Well, before we go there, those are good questions, though, right? So what constitutes a sports movie? Is it a documentary? Or are we just talking about kind of, you know, a screenplay, fictional screenplay, does like poker fit into
a movie? Yeah, because you have a movie like Rounders, and I completely blame Matt Damon with Rounders for all the nonsense that we have to have poker on ESPN channels right now.
It's true. We could trace that back, I think, and find out that
it's
that
his
is
fault.
Actually the fact, right?
Well, and you sit there and say, okay, so are we going to have like the Monopoly championship on ESPN too?
Sooner or later. You know,
yeah, I guess it's coming.
We've already had pool, right? So we've had pool on ESPN for quite some time.
Sure.
Is any movie about bowling a sports movie?
Yes, I mean,
because these are actually conversations that people have in real life, right? Is like car racing
a sport?
Or
yeah.
Is bowling a sport?
Well, here's my rule of thumb.
Okay.
And this is just me. If you're going to consider it a sport, can you have some adult beverages and still be able to compete at a decent level? So, I mean, if you think about that for a second,
yeah.
Okay, could I play basketball after having a few adult beverages? Probably not.
Not at the top level that you're used to.
Right. Could I bowl after having a few pops?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a little bit looser. I'm slinging the ball down there. I don't care. That's kind of my rule of thumb, but that's me.
Are you saying that when you and I were at Top Golf the other day,
yes,
that we weren't really playing a sport?
Yes.
It sounds like that's what you might have been playing. And look, I looked at that as my workout for the day, so I'm...
But see, there are physical demands to it. I mean, there's physical demands to bowling. I mean, you're going to go home with a sore shoulder, whatever it is. But you can have like three Guinness and bowl better, in fact, than you were prior to.
And you know, the reason I bring this up, right, is because we've got movies like Rounders, like
yeah.
You said, and car racing.
Sure.
There's some good movies there. There's,
here's one
I don't
thing.
Know if you saw, you and I spoke about it, so I think you saw it with Rush, with the movie about Niki Lauda, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Days of Thunder. I mean, you know.
Days of Thunder, sure.
Those guys are sweating in there.
Oh, no, you're putting in work. You're losing weight. Some of these drivers are losing, you know, 10 to 12 pounds in a race and that kind of thing. There is some physical endurance that is involved there. Here's one thing that I've noticed in racing movies, and I don't know exactly how this works, but I have noticed if you pick a racing movie, it doesn't matter the movie, just pick one. When you shift gears, you pass like most of the field. Like they're driving, and he's like, okay, now we got to get busy. And he shifts gears, and he blows by like five spots.
Right, right.
The rest of the time, he's just been running in third.
Right.
Like he's just been keeping it in third gear.
Shift that gear, boy. You're out of there. You would have almost thought that you could have shifted earlier to
you
get
would think,
faster.
You would think that on the starting lap, like they drop the green, I shift gears. Nope, I'm going to run this thing in second gear for most of the race until the dramatic moment.
You know, it is a 2-hour movie, right?
Right. They've got to keep you going.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe that's what it is.
I have one more question for you.
Okay.
When we talk about sports movies, and this doesn't apply to all of them, but you kind of have to say which one in the series, because there are a number of movies that have sequels.
Sure.
So, Major League, you know, are we taking it as a whole?
No, we have to specify, because there's too many bad ones that get thrown in the series.
Well, correct. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, what is there, a Rocky? I think there's a Rocky 6. So there's Rocky.
Did they stop then?
Because I'm not sure the others really, they still make those.
Well, and here's the interesting part. And we see this, and this isn't just the Rocky movies. This isn't, when you have multiple sequels, here's the formula for the sequel. You do the first movie, it hits. You do the sequel, okay, what would have happened next? You do the next sequel, okay, what would have happened next? And eventually, what you get to is you get to the end where you're like, we're all out of ideas. How about we do this? How about we rewrite the first movie and we just change the characters in it? Because that's exactly what they did with Rocky with this latest Creed. That's exactly what they did with this latest Star Wars. They just rewrote the first one and said, okay, now we've got a young person that doesn't really know about the Force, and they have it.
They saved a lot of money by realizing that, you know, after the second movie, and you're right.
They just go through, I think, in like their word processing document, and they just go, okay, change name Rocky with Creed, and okay, click, and done. We have a new movie.
And no one will ever know.
No one will ever notice. And people are going out in droves to see these things because it's brand new.
Right.
Okay. Give me a few of your favorite sports movies.
Well, this one, I you know, it's kind of off the beaten path, but Karate Kid, I liked.
The first one or the original?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
And the reason I liked it is because I can attach it to and kind of say that maybe not the Karate Kid, but the karate genre is well supported in movies. And the reason I say that is you also have Kung Fu Panda.
Well, sure. And that's right in there with it. And also teaches a lot of the same principles.
It does. And any time you can work with both real life and a cartoon.
And pandas.
You know, somebody's doing something right.
Well, the weird thing to me about Karate Kid, and there's a few different ways to go on this. One, Daniel-san is like 45.
Right.
Which is a little strange. Two, they are in the tournament, and, you know, the blonde-haired kid, the bully.
Right.
He gets penalized for booting dude in the knee or in the face, and they say, hey, that's not allowed. Got to keep it to the torso. And then Daniel-san wins with a boot to the face. Well, I guess it's just okay for him. The poor blonde kid takes a foot to the nose.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
And speaking of, the blonde-haired kid who, I don't know his name, I probably should, but isn't he like the villain in like all the ski movies? And,
oh yeah, I think he is, and he always has a headband on.
Oh, a headband for sure. I think he probably lived his 20s and 30s in a headband.
Just in a, like if he goes out without the headband, no one recognizes him. But if he has it on, then hey, it's you, and he's having to give autographs. He's like, hey, today I'm not wearing the headband. I got stuff to do.
And you know, just in case he gets called to the set, like you never know when. They're going to need a kid villain.
No, you need it. You need to keep it in the glove box because you don't know when you're going to need it.
And the sunglasses too.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Where do you come in on the Rocky movies?
You know, I had my kids watch it for the first time. You know, not long ago.
Right.
And I'm a fan of Rocky. You know, it's a feel good movie. Again, it's kind of one of those movies that it doesn't try to take itself too seriously, I don't think, and. The only bad part about Rocky was that spawned other numerous Rockies.
Yeah, I think that was the bad part.
Characters.
When did you stop liking it?
At the support.
Like, was it two? Was it three? When were you like, I'm done?
I don't know what the number was. I don't know that I ever actually saw the whole thing. But with the Russian guy.
Yeah, that's where it kind of ended for me too. Like I could live with Mr. T. I could live with. I think he had one where he was, I don't know, grappling around with Hulk Hogan or something. The Russian guy kind of, I'm kind of done. Was that the one that Mickey died?
I don't know.
Mickey died, I think, three or four times.
I think Mickey died in three, didn't he? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
This is where my ignorance came.
This, well, and this is where I get confused. Like, was it Yoda or was it Mickey? It was one. I got Return of the Jedi and Rocky III confused. I can't keep them all straight.
Right. A lot of characters similar in there.
Yeah. You know, the hard part, I think, for movies is I think that they struggle. I think there are certain movies that translate to, or certain sports that translate to movies. Basketball, I think, is really, really tough for them to reenact. There's a couple of decent basketball movies, but it's baseball probably translates the best to the big screen. What's your favorite baseball movie?
And I agree with you. Before we get there, yeah, because you know there's just a ton of basketball movies.
There are, and a lot of them are horrible.
Kind of look at it. They're all over the place. But
yeah.
Baseball movies. You know, there's a lot of them too, but it's a little bit slower. You can capture the action a little bit better. It doesn't look quite as made up.
Yeah.
Definitely have to agree with you. And you asked me what my favorite baseball movie was.
Yep.
Sandlot.
Sandlot's a classic. You got to go Sandlot.
And I'm going with that one over, you know, The Natural or, you know, there's a couple older baseball movies too that are pretty good, but. I think The Sandlot, just for movie making, captures, you know, a lot of youth, a lot of the fun, a lot of the struggles of you remember as a kid, just you know, playing baseball and fitting in. And,
oh, it's a classic.
And all that kind of stuff, and everybody knows that everybody had that neighbor. At least
sure.
I did, and I do right now. Where if that ball goes over the fence, you're just not going.
You're just
to get
done.
It.
No, you're done. You just got to leave it. No,
right.
Sandlot's a great one. Field of Dreams, you know, always
yep.
good. Bull Durham, obviously, very, very good.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we talked a little, you know, basketball movies. Basketball movies are tougher to translate because you've got 10 guys that have got to kind of move in unison to make it look right. Hoosiers, I think, probably got the basketball part of it at least to look halfway decent.
Yeah.
There's, you know, whether
and,
you like
yeah,
the movie
you're
or not.
Right. It is hard. It's those moving parts that's just hard to capture. But and I don't know about you. I don't know if this is where you're going. I think Hoosiers is the best basketball movie.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, a lot of people consider it the best sports movie all around.
I could see that.
Sure.
The only thing they screw up in Hoosiers is they jam Barbara Hershey down our throat.
Yeah.
That's the only part. That's the only issue that I really have with Hoosiers. Yes, there's a little bit of corny, you know, there and some of that stuff, but trying to jam that love interest down our throat, it hurts the movie. Other than that, it's a phenomenal movie. And they, you know what they did though? They went and they got actors who had a history of playing basketball. Some of those guys, they weren't necessarily actors first. They were basketball players and they, you know, kind of came in and learned how to act. That's what they got right.
The players on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I never knew that. And you know, kind of on the same lines, Shooter. You know, he had some experience.
He had some experience.
What he was doing in that movie,
being
too.
Drunk. You know, they say for that scene when Shooter walks out onto the floor, that he had been out in the hallway just spinning himself around in circles again and again and again, and then when he walked out there, he truly was dizzy and just yelling. But that's what they say he did to prep for that.
You, Hopper, he's just one of the best guys. I mean, he's a classic. He knew how to get it done. He was a good actor.
Yeah, no, he's very, very good. Dennis Hopper. Hopper's good in just about – there's a few guys – and speaking of that, there's a few guys that are just good in sports movies. I mean, when you think of guys – Kevin Costner. And I'm not a huge Costner fan, but in sports movies, he does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Will Smith has done
party,
it well. Yeah, he does.
You can tell he's not uncomfortable, you know, like a lot of guys might be if they didn't, you know, if they never played a down of football, you know,
well,
in high school and were asked to go do it. They'd look terrible, right?
But yeah, because you look at Tom Cruise, prime
okay.
example. Like he has no business being in a sports movie. With his karate chop running, you're
right.
just like, dude, you're not an athlete. And you're like 5'2". We can see you've never played an organized sport in your life.
Right.
Woody Harrelson is a little bit underrated, I think, in sports movies. He's always pretty good.
Yes, yeah, and one that you wouldn't really necessarily think of, but, you know, The Wrestler.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke, yeah. No, you know, Mickey Rourke's a decent athlete. I guess he's, you know, he did some boxing, and he's a better athlete than, of course, he looks like, I don't know, Keith Richards or something.
His body type has changed over the last.
Yes. He's like a walking corpse at this point.
Right. right. But yeah, he can tell that he's done some stuff.
I'll tell you who I like in sports movies. And this is just me, but it seems like in every single sports movie we have, and more in recent ones, but it seems like in every single sports movie, I don't care what the sports movie is about. I don't care if it's hockey, baseball, basketball, it makes no difference. Crucial to any story is the antagonist that is going to be there, and you find him in every single movie. A lot of times, especially in more recent movies, it's a racist person. It's the coach, it's the fan, it's the opposing player, and you're just watching the movie, and this guy's trying to get it done, and you just have that one guy, you ain't never going to win in this game, and you just have that one, you go back where you come from. That one guy, I really like him in sports movies, whoever it might be.
I'm with you, and you'll have to let me know. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but I'm expecting there's a lot of that in, like, Remember the Titans.
Yes, and you have the other team. That's a great example. Remember the Titans. You have the other coach. He's going to do some cheating things, and the refs are going to be kind of dirty because it's an integrated school,
right.
and those kind of things. You have the brother in Rudy. Remember the brother? Like, here's my brother. He's trying to get on Notre Dame. You ain't never going to play for Notre Dame, boy. What do you think you're doing? You have the big school kid in Hoosiers. Remember the kid in the championship? They grow them pretty small on the farm. You always have that one guy, just a big jerk.
It's true. You got to have it too. I mean,
yeah,
it probably happens even today, I'm sure. So there's a lot of material there to cover when you're half.
Well, sure.
Yeah. A sports movie that you have to work some of that in.
You have to have that one jerk that just comes out of sticks their head out of the crowd and yells a racist, slur at somebody that just, it makes the movie.
Sure it does. I mean, you got, and then of course, that guy gets beat in the end, ultimately in almost every movie that's there.
Right. And he hangs his head in shame, and he may give the nod of respect as they walk off the field in Victor.
Right. With his bandana and blonde
with his bandana and blonde hair. It's always that guy. It's always that guy. Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What's your evaluation of Vince Vaughn in Dodgeball? I mean,
oh, he's great. Vince Vaughn, Vince Vaughn is a little bit of an athlete. You know, I think he's a Chicago kid. Vince Vaughn is a little bit of an athlete, and you forget about him. He was in Dodgeball, very good. He was in Old School, very good. He was in Rudy. Remember, he was the punk kid that didn't take it seriously and what didn't have half the talent of Rudy Rudiger, but he played.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's him, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Vince Vaughn has done some things, but he was a little bit of an athlete, I guess, in high school at least.
Well, you could probably see that. He's tall.
He's a big dude, yeah.
No, he's not, yeah.
No, he's very, very good. I like him. He's pretty good in everything. There are certain actors, they're just good in everything they do.
True.
Tom Hanks, he's good in everything
he does. There hasn't been a bad movie that Vince Vaughn has done, and I would challenge any listener to chime in with one. But.
Well, sure. Gene Hackman, good in everything he does.
Excellent.
He's
actor.
Just always good.
And we're off the topic of sports for Gene Hackman, but not too far. He's been involved in a few. But yeah, what a great actor.
Okay, last question before we have to go. But here's a question for you. You are a movie athlete, and I know your background. Played some high school baseball. You have some stuff athletically that you've done. You're a movie athlete. Who do you want to coach you from the movies? I'm going to give you a few options. You can kind of pick who you want.
Okay.
You can have Mickey from Rocky. You can't win, Rock. You can have Norman Dale from Hoosiers. You can have Herman Boone from Remember the Titans. You can have Jimmy Dugan from League of Their Own. I mean, Tom Hanks was great as Jimmy Dugan. You can have Pop Fisher, Wilford Brimley in The Natural. You can have Morris Buttermaker from The Bad News Bears. I mean... Who are you taking? Who's going to bring the best out of you as an athlete?
I got to believe it's the guy not named from the coach from Friday Night Lights. But if I have to go with somebody on your list, I'm...
No, you can go off the list if you want. Go with whoever you need to.
Yeah, I'd take the guy from Friday Night Lights. I think he's not as funny or as entertaining, but he would get the most of me out of a... as that player. Now, who would I want?
Yeah.
I'm going... Who's the guy from the Bad News Bears?
Morris Buttermaker, I think, was his name.
And is that...
Walter Matthau. That's
Walter
who it is.
Matthau.
Walter Matthau. Could you have the, you couldn't have the Bad News Bears today. Not like that. You couldn't make that movie today.
No, you couldn't. There's so much wrong with the movie. It would never get made.
It's so horrible.
It's like one of those old Disney movies, like Dumbo with the five black crows.
Yes.
You know, singing on the
right. Bear. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. Have we learned anything today?
Well, we didn't spend much time on the actual Oscars, and I think that is
that's a win, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of a win. I am interested in seeing a couple of the other movies, and you know, I didn't watch Spotlight for any other reason than I'm a fan of Rachel McAdams. So,
oh, okay.
My wife and I watched that the other night, and it turned out to be a great movie. It's the movie about the abuse in the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know which one. I know which one you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Where does
and it really was a great movie.
Where does Adam Sandler come in on your list of sports athletes in movies?
I know I'm different from a lot of people. I don't get the guy. I don't know if I've watched an Adam Sandler movie, Adam Sandler sports movie.
You've seen clips from The Waterboy because you saw Aqib Talib jam his fingers in somebody's eyes this year. Which is about the same same sort of slapstick that was going on in The Waterboy.
Well, the guys who played the Hanson brothers come in.
Oh yeah, where a Slapshot? Slapshot's a great one.
Right.
Paul Newman is pretty good in sports movies.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean he's got that one. He's got
The Hustler.
The Hustler. He's excellent in that. There's a coach for you. Do you want Paul Newman to be your coach?
He'd be a great coach.
He'd be a great coach.
Yeah, he's got the fatherly like experience, but you know he's not going to like scream and yell at you.
No, he's going to be way smoother than that. But what he says is going to strike you to your very core.
Right. Yeah, whether it's good or bad, you'll either be on cloud nine or you'll be in a puddle of your own tears.
Right, exactly. Like two, no, maybe that's the
all
coach.
All he has to say is two words. That he either says, "Well done," and then you're just happy and everything.
Yes.
Or he'll say, "Nice try."
Right.
And you'll like go hide in a cave for a week.
Right. Then you're completely done. Well, and then he was in the Color of Money with Cruz too.
Oh yeah.
Remember
right.
he had the mustache. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's maybe that's the guy to go with. I don't know. Well, hey, I have to say thank you for coming in.
Oh.
Talking some movies, talking some sports with us here on the Daily Dose. Appreciate it anytime you can stop by.
Love it, Clint. Thank you very much for having me. I'll be listening to the podcast intently. I know there's March Madness coming up.
Yes, there
probably,
is.
Yeah, promo and this stuff already. I don't really even know when the tournaments are being played, but I guess that's the next big sports event.
Oh, it's coming.
Just kind of tracking free agency in football, right?
Yeah, no, we got a few things going because you got free agency kind of heating up. 2015 contracts are about to expire, so the NFL still has things going, and then March Madness is coming quickly. We've got conference tournaments coming up. You're going to have some of these conferences playing their way in and punching their ticket to the dance. So yeah, we've got a number of things coming up in the world of sports. It's kind of crazy because you think of just after football season, it kind of being a down time, but that's not the case.
No, it's not. And I'll also add in there, just announced today, Lindsey Vonn bowed out with a broken knee.
Oh, how horrible was that?
Ski season is over, which is too bad. She was on track for another world championship. She already has the downhill wrapped up, but maybe not a lot of listeners are interested in that, but she's a story that's still going on.
Well, and the fact that she got injured and a pretty horrific injury at that, and then she posted, "Hey, I'm going to go back up and give it another shot."
Right.
Really?
You're right.
Oh, that's a tough woman.
The next day with the broken knee.
Yeah. No, she was still going. She was still trying to give it a go.
Yeah. So I'm not. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't doing that. She's one tough one.
Yeah, she is. Well, I want to congratulate you on one specific thing.
Uh-oh.
You brought skiing into the Daily Dose, which I don't think has ever happened in the history of the show.
Well, then plan on talking about it some more because it's something I do and something I track. So I'll try and bring a little tidbit here and there when you invite me on.
I appreciate that so much. You have no idea because I don't ski. I've been out there. It's cold and yeah, that's not my thing. So I'll need to lean on you for that expertise when it comes ski season. Is this an Olympic year?
It is an Olympic summer Olympic year.
Summer Olympics.
So every
summer's
year
better, anyways.
That there is a leap year.
Then we have a summer Olympics. Summer's the best of the group. I'll watch either, but summer that'll be fun. So we have that coming too. We've got a lot of stuff going in sports.
Absolutely, gonna be a fun year.
Yes, it will. Hey, thanks again for stopping by. We always appreciate it anytime you get a chance to come in.
Thanks, Clint.
Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we've been talking movies today. We've been talking some sports movies today. And here's the list that I came up with today. You know, it's not that these are the best sports movies. That's not what I want to count down today. What I want to count down today is... And it's not even that they're even good sports movies. Let me be real clear about that. I'm not saying these are the greatest sports movies ever. That's not my list here today. What I want to count down today is the Daily Dose top five sports movies that you've seen a million times, but if they're on, you're still going to stop. You're still going to watch it. They're just kind of those movies that I don't know how to explain it, but if they're on, you kind of stop and you pause on them and you, oh yeah, let me see this scene. So today, on the Daily Dose, we count down the top five sports movies that you will watch again and again. Like I said, these aren't the best ones. I won't even try to pretend that. But they are movies that you continue to watch again and again. Let's start with number five.
Every summer, there she is. Lotion. Oily. Lotion.
And one day... it became too much for Michael Squints Polidoros.
I can't take this no more! Move!
And he did the most desperate thing any of us had ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be The Sandlot, doesn't it? It's not a great movie. No one's going to call this a film. But if it's on... you kind of have to stop and watch a few of the scenes, don't you? You kind of have to stop and watch them say... you're killing me, Smalls. I mean, playing sports in the summer with your friends, you've got James Earl Jones, you've got that relationship there, you've got his deep booming voice, and you've got Squints jamming his tongue down Wendy Peppercorn's throat. What is there not to like in The Sandlot? Sandlot's got to be on the list. I'm sorry. I'll confess. If it comes on, I'm going to pause and watch it for a few minutes. Let's move on to number four.
How come you know so much about bowling?
Well, maybe this will help explain it to you.
Oh, wow. That's really something. What's that made out of?
14-karat gold.
Really? Looks like rubber.
No, the ring, not the hand.
Now, I realize you might not know this one as well. It might not be quite as popular. But if Kingpin is on, you kind of have to stop and take a look at it. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Kingpin, Woody Harrelson... is a good young bowler, but he gets into this kind of con game with Bill Murray, and Bill Murray tricks him into playing a game that leaves him with only one hand. Years later, Woody Harrelson's character goes on to discover a young Amish bowling phenom that ends up being Randy Quaid. I mean, does it sound crazy? Does it sound insane? Because if you actually see the movie... it's probably crazier than what I'm actually describing. But again, this isn't one that might be on the top of anyone's list that you look at and say, oh yeah, Kingpin, great sports movie. You're going to laugh. It's idiotic. It's stupid. You are going to laugh. It's just one of those movies. And if Kingpin's on, I got to say, I have to hit pause and I have to kind of go over and check it out and at least listen to a couple lines. Like a lot of movies, especially with Bill Murray, a lot of lines that you just have to play again and again and again because you probably missed it the first time. You might hear it the second time around. Kingpin is one of those ones. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to check it out. But once you do, it's one of those ones that when it's on, you just kind of stop and you check it out every single time. You just have to catch a few of those lines. Let's move on to number three.
Come on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. Dilemma. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, lama,
hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Yes, it has to be Caddyshack. I mean, you know, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Ted Knight. I honestly, I don't know if it's that drop-dead hilarious of a movie just on its own. But it's one of those movies that if it's on, you kind of stop because there's a scene that you're like, no, this scene is actually kind of funny. I mean, my children know the Baby Ruth in the pool scene. And it's just because, it's not because we've watched the whole movie. They just have seen me stop on that scene so many times that you just kind of get to know it. Again, I don't know if Caddyshack holds up that well. I really don't. I don't know if it's one of those movies that you just say it's still funny again and again and again. There are aspects to it that are funny. There are scenes that are funny. But it's just one of those movies that if it's on, you just kind of stop and take in a scene. It's way overquoted. I realize the frat boys love the movie. And when they're out on the golf course, you know, swinging it, that they quote every single line. It's not that for me. It's just one of those movies that when it's on, you just kind of have to pause and take in. Maybe a scene or two, and then maybe you're back off of it, but it's just one of those movies. It's on the Golf Channel like 24/7, isn't it? I think they just play that on repeat when there's not a tournament on. But Caddyshack still kind of makes me laugh, and it's still one of those movies that I'll tune into every single time. So that comes in at number three. Let's jump up to number two.
It's pretty. It's so pretty. We go with
Sizzler. We go with Sizzler. Yes, at number two has to be White Men Can't Jump. I mean, it's one of those movies that, again, I've watched it 18 million times. And it's not for necessarily the basketball. Because the basketball, I've told you before, Wesley Snipes can't play basketball. He's not very athletic. There's something about him. I don't know what it is, but it's not good. And he's not a basketball player. You can tell from his shot. You can tell just the way he carries himself. He's not a basketball player. But the movie, you kind of have to watch it. Like if White Men Can't Jump is on, you kind of got to tune in. If you haven't seen it, you kind of got to watch it. Is it the bumpkin vibe of Woody Harrelson hustling these street ball players? Maybe. Is it the horrible moves of Wesley Snipes that you watch him and just go, man, you didn't get the basketball gene. I don't know what happened to you, but you didn't get it. As he makes these goofy behind the back twirling bizarre, it looks more like ballet than it does basketball. Maybe, because that's always funny to watch. Is it the smoking hotness of Rosie Perez as long as she doesn't open her mouth and talk? I don't know what it is, but I know that if White Men Can't Jump is on, I stop and I take in a few scenes because there are a few different scenes. Watching Rosie Perez on Jeopardy, watching some of the games, seeing some of the basketball players that actually did appear in the movie that you might not realize. There's some pretty good talent in this movie. Now, the actors, not so much, but there are actually some kind of cameos by some very, very popular players in White Men Can't Jump. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to do so, but it's going to be one of those movies that when it comes on, you kind of pause and you kind of take in a scene or two. That comes in at number two. Finally, we come down to our number one movie on the Daily Dose Top 5 Sports Movies that you can watch again and again and again. I'll be honest, I'm not a baseball guy. I'm just not. I love basketball, love football. They don't make as good of movies. I think baseball translates better to the big screen. You know, it just looks better. You can kind of fudge those things. You can't do that with some of the other sports. It just doesn't come off on the screen as well. But my number one movie that I watch again and again and again, and I've seen it, I have it memorized, but I watch it again every single time. Number one on our Daily Dose Top 5 this week.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
Relax, Ricky. We're only four runs down. We're still in this game.
You take it to him?
All right.
Look, man, guy gets a second, first sign indicator.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his major league debut. Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
Yes, it has got to be Major League. Again, this isn't artistic filmmaking, but Major League is worth watching again and again and again. If nothing else, just for the lines delivered by Harry Doyle. He is so good. And you know, the funny part about Harry Doyle, and you know, he's played by Bob Uecker, the former player, and you know, he still does some announcing for the Milwaukee Brewers. Bob Uecker is not that character at all. Like, if you hear him announce, that is not him. He is a very, very serious baseball guy. He played that role so well, and he had the best lines. But Major League, if it's on, I'm tuning in. If it's on, I'm stopping, and I'm watching a scene or two. Yes, it's corny. Some of it, they try to jam a love scene in there, as they always do in Hollywood, and mess up a good sports movie. But it has some great, great lines throughout it. And if you haven't seen Major League, I don't know where you're living, but you got to see Major League. It is just one of those movies that you watch again and again and again. And if nothing else, I mean, you actually see Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, win something. There's something to be said for that, isn't there? Hey, next week on the show, it is now March. We are now into March, and we will get you ready for March Madness like no one else. Going to start taking a look at college basketball. Who are the teams to watch? Who are the teams that could sneak in? Who are the teams that could disappoint you in your bracket? Start looking at March Madness a little more closely over the next few weeks. Plus, of course, the NBA is getting better and better as the season progresses. The NFL is year-round. We even might have to touch on some Major League Baseball as it's starting to get going just a little bit. And of course, as we do every single week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever you download the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a quick review. We would appreciate that so much. I have to say thank you to Larry for stopping by this week. Always enjoy talking to you. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.